Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we have David Capellian joining us. He's an award-winning American journalist, vice president and managing editor of the online news giant WorldNet Daily, WND.com. I'll say more about David, but I want to tell you what the topic is on this portion of the program. We're going to be talking about how drugs were involved, pharmaceutical drugs in some ways, in virtually all these different cases with shootings that have occurred in America. Does that include Parkland as well? Well, we're going to explore that in just a moment. David Capellian is also the editor of Whistleblower Magazine, which is a widely read columnist, and he's written three best-selling books, The Marketing of Evil, How Evil Works, and more recently, The Snapping of the American Mind, Healing a Nation Broken by a Lawless Government and Godless Culture. And while I'm giving this commercial here, themarketingofevil.com is a website where you can follow David Capellian and all his works, as well as WND.com. David, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, Jerry, it's great to be on the air with you.
Okay, so you wrote this column after the Parkland shooting, and you said, here's something the media is ignoring in the Florida school shooting. And then you not only talked about Parkland, but then you dredged up all these things, the Connecticut shooting in Newtown a couple years ago, and this one and that one. And there was even one from my own hometown, which is Winnetka, Illinois. I remember that now. Laura Dan, I think it was in the Hubbard Woods part of Winnetka. But apparently so many of these different shooters had been on some types of drugs, or they were coming off the drugs, antidepressants. Why don't you go ahead and wax eloquent on this?
Well, the truth is there is a large amount of data, Jerry, correlates this history of these horrible school massacres and other mass shootings with people that were, most of them are young men, that were either on psychiatric medications or just recently coming off of them. And I'm not a doctor, I'm a journalist, but I talk to doctors and scientists, and I've talked to the world's best, and there is a large body of evidence not only correlating the fact of having taken the psychiatric drugs in the shooting, but actually understanding the mechanism of why it would cause somebody. I mean, look, let's just be real. Every antidepressant sold in America today, doesn't matter the dosage or the brand or whatever, has on it a mandatory Food and Drug Administration black box warning. That's the strongest, most extreme warning the FDA has, of suicidality, okay? It literally warns, I mean, this is very ironic that you're giving, in the first place, you're giving people who are depressed a drug that may make them want to kill themselves. But the black box warning on every antidepressant says, it warns of, quote, increased risk of suicidal thinking and behavior known as suicidality in young adults age 18 to 24. And that's the age group we're talking about. So I think common sense tells us that where there are suicidal thoughts, which is the taking of a human life, even though it's your own, you're in effect murdering yourself, where there are suicidal thoughts, homicidal thoughts may not be too far behind. And in fact, I won't mention any names, but one of the very popular antidepressants added homicidal ideation to its list of rare adverse events after Andrea Yates drowned her five children in Houston years ago after taking this particular antidepressant. So this is not some wild conspiracy theory. There are world-class experts like Dr. David Healy, a British psychiatrist and author, who actually said about the the Aurora movie theater shooting. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember him. Yeah.
I didn't even mention that one in my article. There's so many. But he came forward and studied this, and he said that flat out that this mass murder in the movie theater, the Batman movie theater,
right,
would not have occurred if James Holmes had not been taking – here's his direct quote – quote, "These killings would never have happened had it not been for the medication James Holmes had been prescribed," unquote. And that's an acknowledged world expert on antidepressants. So here's the thing. It's a really tough subject because a lot of people take these drugs, and there's no doubt that they relieve a lot of suffering, and there's a, you know, appropriate usefulness for them and so forth. And I'm certainly not arguing that they, like, all be banned or something, but it is impossible to ignore the fact that they are vastly overprescribed. We have, just to throw one out of many statistics in my book, The Snapping of the American Mind, it's full of statistics. I'll just give you one.
Okay.
1 in 4 middle-aged women are taking these same drugs we're talking about, these SSRI antidepressants. That's just one class of psychiatric medication. 23% of all women 40 to 59 years of age are taking these very powerful mood-altering drugs with, you know, weird side effects. That's too much. And the problem is, since I know you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, and we look at things through a certain mm-hmm. Judeo-Christian deep reality lens. In the secular post-Christian America, and particularly the psychiatric profession, the helping professions, which basically have squeezed God out of them entirely, all they have to offer, for the most part, to help people that are dealing with these horrible psychological and even spiritual problems are drugs. And I think common sense just tells you, if you're going to just drug people and at best mask symptoms, and at worst bring on new problems, because when you don't know what you're doing and you're being a mad scientist and you're drugging people to deal with very deep problems, dealing with spiritual problems and anger and all kinds of issues, and you're just going to drug them, you're going to have really bad unintended consequences. And I don't think it's extreme to say that these school shootings, to some degree, are a reflection of the blind spot that modern medical culture has with regards to these very, very lucrative drugs. These drugs are a huge part of the portfolio of the pharmaceutical companies, these psychiatric drugs. And right now, Jerry, we have about 50 million Americans taking them overall. That's just too many.
Okay, now let me push back a little bit here. Okay, just take that last statement you made. 50 million or so Americans taking these things, and yet there's an occasional shooting here, an occasional shooting there. You know, the vast majority of people taking these things are not doing these kinds of things. So wouldn't that in some ways undercut your overall thesis?
Well, my thesis is not that everybody that takes these drugs becomes a mass
okay.
shooter. And that's what I said. That's what makes it a dicey issue, because it's very controversial. I mean, I've had sections in my book, How Evil Works, another section in The Snapping of the American Mind, and it's very controversial. People become very offended
yeah.
because they think you're, you know, accusing them of being a potential criminal or something, and I'm not. But it's undeniable that the effect, I mean, if you think about it, the black box warning, going back to that, suicidality, that, you know, you're going to give this drug to somebody who's already kind of living on the edge of sanity. It is undeniable that there's something about the dissociation that happens with the drug that that can lead people to do horrible things and not even realize they did it. And in fact, you know, Jerry, in the article that has become quite viral, the one you mentioned that was at the top of the Drudge Report for a day or two, the article that I wrote where I listed some of these famous cases, and some of them, if you read them, like I'm looking at one, Chris Pittman, a 12-year-old who shot both his grandparents with a shotgun and then burned their house down. But he says afterwards, he says through the whole thing, this is a quote, "It was like watching your favorite TV show. You know what is going to happen, but you can't do anything to stop it." And the fellow I think we mentioned, Kurt Danish, okay, he says he shot his own father to death in 1996. He said, quote, "I didn't realize I did it till after it was done."
Wow.
And he said, quote, "This might sound weird, but it felt like I had no control of what I was doing, like I was left there just holding a gun." And believe me, this is not just excuses of people that, you know, committed very crimes. There's a great deal of research and confirmation for this kind of thing, where the drug has the effect in kind of helping with the anxiety and taking the edge off of the range of emotions and all that, which is a common way the effect of these meds is described. It can have the effect in certain circumstances that we're just describing. So, you know, let's just say there's good and bad in it, okay? But it doesn't help us to ignore
right.
the bad, which is largely what's happened, and that's why I'm kind of blowing the horn on it.
Sure. Well, in fact, as you may recall, when I saw your article and I wrote to you and I asked you if we could talk about this on the radio, and I thank you for doing this, showed a few scriptures there from the New Testament where it talks about the problem of pharmakeia. That's the Greek word used. Sometimes it's translated as sorcery. Sometimes it's translated as magic arts. But, for example, in near the end of the book of Revelation, it talks about how the evil one, well, actually, it's talking about specifically the evil city of Babylon, but under the influence of the evil one, has deceived the whole world through its pharmakeia, through its magic arts. And I thought, well, you know, that's really fascinating. I mean, obviously, there's nothing wrong with a pharmacy, you know, to get some cold medicine and some, you know, aspirin and so forth. That's a real blessing to modern society.
Of course.
But the idea of the evil one using the pharmakeia to, you know, lead society astray is just kind of a fascinating point. I mean, there are problems related to people using drugs, even drugs that are, you know, passed through the FDA.
Yeah, I mentioned one other statistic from the snapping of the American mind. You've, depending on overlap of categories, you've got somewhere between 100 million and 130 million Americans that are dependent on mood-altering, mind-altering substances. In other words, legal drugs, illegal, you know, psychiatric drugs, illegal drugs, and abusing alcohol. Okay, 130 million people. We've got a nation
that's
of like 330 million people. That's like all the grown-ups. That's very disturbing.
Yeah,
and it comes back to the fact that we you know, from a spiritual perspective, we all have life is a battle, okay? And the battle is really in the mind, and there's good and evil, there's God and the devil, and they both want to recruit us. They're both pulling on us, and this battle in the mind. And if we have a healthy culture with Judeo-Christian values that encourages, you know, a mom and dad in the home and basic good core values that, you know, human life is sacred and, you know, sex is sacred and reserved for marriage and kind of just the core values that everybody really believed about 60 years ago. That all has gone away in our modern time. The kind of the radical left has swept that away in the wave after wave of liberation. And now we don't have that, but the battle for the mind is still there. And without the moral foundation that, you know, did us pretty well for a few centuries in America and the Western civilization for a couple of millennia, without that, what do we have? Most of what psychiatry has to offer today, the helping professions, is drugs. And when you're trying to help people that have serious mental, emotional, spiritual problems by drugging them, you're going to have problems. You know, a generation or two ago, it was very common for a psychiatrist to refer to depression as, you know, a person's anger turned within. That was a very common expression back then.
Yeah.
A lot of sort of just horse sense in that. Today, that view is frowned upon. It's looked as like, oh, that's old. That's like, you know, electroshock. That's like ancient, primitive ideas. Today, we have, you know, really nuanced medications we use to help with this. But wait a minute. You know, they're really, just look at a list of clinical symptoms of depression, okay? There's a very good case to be made that somebody that is very, very angry and turns it within will exhibit these. You don't have to be a doctor you just have to be an adult to have observed enough of life to see, yeah, and to experience some of it perhaps yourself at different times. So we have gotten away from understanding and counseling and trying to, you know, bring people back to repentance, forgiveness. That sounds like religion when I say that, but it's also a very good psychology.
Yeah.
Because a lot of your problems go away when you are reflective and look at your own problems and you repent of them, you give them up, and you also realize other people in the same boat and you forgive them. A lot of, quote, mental health problems get better magically. And I know this from personal family experience. This is not some kind of theory that I've read in a book. We have lost that as a culture. I mean, there are many good people and many people that have sort of kept the faith. But in terms of our establishment, our medical and helping professions, particularly psychiatry and psychology, they're totally secular. And just the fact that they're so overboard with the whole LGBTQ agenda and leading the way of that, they're lost. Okay. And part of that is the fact that without understanding, all they can do is offer drugs. And drugs are really not our problem. Okay, I mean,
the solution.
They are our problem. They become you give a wrong solution to a problem, you create a new problem. And I'm afraid there's a lot of that going on now.
All right. Well, thank you for this food for thought, David Kapelian, themarketingofevil.com for more information. Again, his most recent book is The Snapping of America. David, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jerry. It's a pleasure.